hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Our buddy Caleb Johnson will not only join me next to talk a little USA basketball, he'll also join you at 92.9 The Game at 6 o'clock. E, before we get to a sound check, because you are going to hear from Kirk Cousins, Arthur Blank, Terry Fontenot, and Jimmy Lake about your Atlanta Falcons. Specifically, how close is Kirk to getting back? He talked about it. As you know, I like to do on these Saturday shows, E, we bring a little lifestyle, levity, brevity to the show along with our sports. And no, I'm not talking about breaking down the men's Olympic shot put trials, which just ended. I believe I know the answer to this question, but E, you are in a relationship, correct? Okay, so you have a significant other. So my question to you is, how many dates in did you know that you wanted to be with your current significant other long term?
4 or 5.
Okay. Because that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because I have just, Turtle has just dipped his toe or his shell back into the dating pool.
Last week was date one, right?
Yep. Or was it? We are now through date three. And everything is going great.
Good, great.
But my question is, after a lot of, and if you guys missed it, I had a very well detailed on Dukes and Bell. I had a pretty disastrous dating year in 2023 with some stories that I shared with y'all because we're family. Like, if something's going on in my life, I'm going to talk to y'all about it. Like, this is free therapy as far as I'm concerned. So here's my question. How many dates in does it take for you to realize, like, I think I want to be in a relationship with this person. Or at least go down that path. Because in every situation, right, and I'm sure this happened with you, E, it takes a turn. You go from casually dating to texting, you know, phone call a couple nights a week. Maybe then you start hanging out twice a week. And then eventually you're like, all right, well, we're just doing this thing, right? And you're talking every day, and you're calling every day, and you're seeing each other multiple times a week. How long does it take for you to get to that stage where you're like, okay, I think we're going to move this towards the long-term direction? I put up a poll at C. Thomas Radio. E, let me know if you think this is fair. How many dates before you know you want to try and see someone long-term? 1, 2 to 3, or 4+. I think that's a fair representation of what it is. Right now, early voting, 2 to 3 is actually leading the way with 65%.
I don't think anybody would say 1. That's really rare. And
unless you're a love at first sight type person, which is very shallow and vain.
And a lot of up for hope and good luck with that. I probably would have went 2-4 and then 5+, but I like 2 to 3 then 4+, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, because I think after 4 dates, like, romantic things need to start happening, if you catch my drift.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Everybody's different, you know.
I'm not saying the whole kit and caboodle. I'm just saying,
okay.
A spark.
Yeah, well, a spark should be there. And then also is this, okay, how quickly are these date intervals? Okay, so if you're doing 1 date a week in the beginning and you get to date 4, well, you're a little bit over a month in, which through the dates and the everyday communication, that month plus should really give you an indicator. Hey, I see what this person is, and I can judge what I know. But if you do those first 3 dates in a 2-week span, you still have a lot to learn about that person, in my opinion.
It depends on how extensively you communicate in between dates, which everybody's different. Everybody has their own, depending on their job, depending on their home life.
With the way you work, how'd you fit in 3 dates enlisted? I mean, aren't you on a 7-day stretch, brother, going a little bit more than that?
Well, we got creative.
Yeah, I bet.
And I, you know what?
Don't tell all your secrets.
I give a lot of credit to her because she has been the one making the commute. Because basically, I'm either coming from Hooters or I'm coming from Mercedes-Benz State. So it's been a lot of meet me around this area and we'll do something.
And then we'll get to our sound. That tells a lot about how interested she is. So good for you, brother. Because with the way you've been going, like I said, man, I know everybody at the station needs to, even though we can't take it, after training camp, everybody at the station needs a vacation.
Unfortunately, then we go into the busiest time of the year. Yeah, so. But yeah, all right. So go vote on the poll at C Thomas Radio. Again, how many dates before you know you want to try and see someone long-term? You can also hit up the text line, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Because I think everybody's different on this. Like, do you know after a couple of dates, or is it, you know, 10 for you? Some people, it might be like, hey, you got to prove it to me. Like, you know, I've been hurt before, and I'm going to put up a wall and all that stuff. So go vote on the poll. We'll share and entertain you on your reactions a little bit later in the show. But right now, let's hear from some of our Falcons with a sound check. We'll start with Kirk Cousins. How's that ankle feeling, Kirk?
Yeah, the ankle's coming. Even since the last time I spoke here, I think it's stronger, more athletic, more dynamic. So I think the thought of play football to rehab it has been a great plan, because I think that's what I need. And I still got more to go, but I'm moving well and able to play the position. I took off today during a little 2-minute period, was able to run and felt no worse for the wear, felt like I was still moving well. So I think I might have given Coach Rob a bit of a heart attack, but I felt good, so he can rest assured knowing that.
Okay, here's what I've seen of Kirk Cousins so far. Jogging-ish, I'll call it. He's like moving around. So the way Falcons practice works, if you've never been before, is they do station drills that are set up all across the field. So you'll do 15 minutes in one spot, they'll blow a whistle, and then you move. And, you know, the key is not to walk. Like they say, the cliche in football, you remember back to your days in youth football, on a hop, on a hop. So that means, you know, run your butt over to the next station, don't walk. Kirk's not running, I would say, but he's not walking. He's moving a little bit. I would say a 3.5 out of 10.
Light jog.
Yeah, but he's got his form going. The arms are moving. Yeah. He runs like a kind of dorky, by the way. It's actually pretty funny to watch him. He's very upright and very like robot, like almost like Mr. Robot. Like the arms are swiveling, the legs are going in unison. It's pretty funny to watch. But he's not like, he's not gimpy at all. He's not wearing any protection. He's not making himself, you know, appear to be. Like, if you looked at him and you came from Phoenix and you were assigned to watch Falcons practice and someone said to you, oh, what percent do you think Kirk Cousins looks? You could realistically say, I didn't even realize he was injured.
No restrictions, no nothing.
Well, I will say this. He's not. Like, let's say they're doing like a bootleg play to Bijan or Darnell Mooney or something like that. He's not exactly sprinting off to hand them the ball. He's kind of, you know, doing it at a rate that it doesn't look like they're not running a play, but he's not giving max effort.
Yeah, 50%, maybe 70%.
Which is what we haven't seen yet, so I'm excited to see that. But I would say all good news on that front. He was also talking about the offense, and he says, look, man, we got to earn it. It's not given.
I'm very aware of, you know, the fact that, you know, perception right now is that our offense is going to be really, really great. We got all these great players, and I just think that's only perception. And it's our job, like today, working to make it reality. And so I don't really care much about perception. I don't care at all. I care about reality and making sure that that's actually what it is this fall. And until we go do it, I don't really feel any assurance from that. So. Every day there's just that work ethic to make sure it's a no-doubter that it's going to happen this fall.
Yeah, don't be complacent, right? Kirk Cousins is a veteran, but you can see he's hungry, man. Like, I'm telling you, I see it in practice. He's running it with authority. He's a drill sergeant out there. He'll bark at you if you do something wrong. I really love what I've seen from him so far. All right, this was a big one. Arthur Blank spoke this week, and he said that he hopes Cousins is here for how long?
Listening to our coaching staff and our personnel department, they really made a decision. Michael was going to be available at number 8. They saw an extraordinary talent. Our Kirk Cousins is our franchise quarterback, is our starting quarterback, and he seems to be doing great from a medical standpoint, his attitude, his leadership, culturally, personally, with our players. The coaching staff has been nothing short of outstanding. You know, I know age does kind of creep up. I can speak to myself personally on that a little bit. I know what that means. And, you know, Kirk will be 36 at the start of the season. And so we hope and pray he's got, you know, 3 to 4 great years in front of him. Maybe beyond that, who knows?
Hold on a second. We are going to pause this radio show so we can break down this quote. Mr. Blank, yeah, question. Yeah, Chris Thomas, 92.9 The Game. Why did you draft Michael Penix if that's your answer? What? Excuse me? Hello? Hello? Is this thing on? You're drafting Michael Penix, talking about hoping Kirk is here for 3 to 4 years minimum, maybe more after that? Excuse me, Mr. Blank. Yeah, again, Chris Thomas with 92.9 The Game, Sports Radio Atlanta. Mr. Blank, if Kirk Cousins is expected to be here 3 to 4 years at a minimum, why did you draft Michael Penix? Why? What? So what, Michael Penix is going to be 30 by the time he starts for the Falcons? Come on. What? What are we talking about here? Well, I mean, the amount of back and forth, frustration, questions, just about the Penix and Kirk Cousins situation. Why would you say that? Clearly, Michael Penix is brought in here to be the franchise quarterback of the future. If Kirk Cousins is here 3 to 4 years at a minimum, Michael Penix is going to be in his late 20s before he gets a snap as QB1, barring injury. Everything about the Falcons right now is so positive. I don't want to harp on this too much because, like, it's done and the draft is over and you can't go back. But if that's the plan, and the defense blows 2 or 3 games like they did last year, you're going to look back and say, Leatu Latu, who supposedly looks phenomenal in camp, or Dallas Turner, or Quinyon Mitchell, would have been the difference. It's like the ripping the Band-Aid off the wound again. All right, it is what it is, but at the same time, again, it's done. It's over with. There's nothing we can do now. Good stuff there from Kirk and the owner, Mr. Blank. And I love you guys, man. I'm getting so many responses to the poll that I put out about how many dates should it take for you to know that you want to see somebody long term. I love it. I love talking with you guys about this kind of stuff because it always brings out a ton of amazing responses. This is on the text line. Until I met my wife, 4 to 5 dates. But it was love at first sight with my genie, and we just celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary. That's amazing. That's from somebody on the text line. You want to share your story with me? Go ahead. 404-726-0929. I absolutely love hearing that, and I hope you get 33 more. The question again is at C Thomas Radio. Poll question reads as follows. How many dates before you know you want to try and see someone long term? 1, 2 to 3? Or more than 4. Go vote. Coming up next, our buddy Caleb Johnson. Why are we logging people's minutes in the NBA Olympics? Why do you care? I'll ask him next. Loving all the responses to the poll question at C Thomas Radio. How many dates before you know that you want to see somebody long-term? Getting a bunch of awesome answers. Just read one before the break about a couple who'd been married for 33 years. Another one got married 8 years ago. They met on a dating app, and they knew right away on the first date, and they've been married for 8 years. So it's getting all sorts of responses here, man. And that's what we love to see. Go vote on the poll at C Thomas Radio. Let's welcome in our next guest on the WadeFord.com hotline, our good buddy Caleb Johnson. Caleb, before we get into some hoops, how many dates did you know before you met your wife that you wanted to be with her long term?
So, Chris, I have the unique circumstance of I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. However, When I first met her, thought she was incredibly weird, strange, a bad influence, like wanted nothing to do with her for the first probably year that we knew each other. And then things just kind of changed my senior year of high school. We started dating. So when I knew, I mean, it took a long time to, like, I guess, kind of come around. But then once that feeling hit, it was a pretty immediate sort of thing. So it's very, very difficult kind of to determine that as far as, like, you know, I mean, I was 17 years old. I wasn't thinking about marriage. So yeah, weird circumstances, but I'd say it took me a while, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking the question, because I think so many people have so many different answers to it. And all right, another thing I want your answer on is, Caleb, as we start, I do have a couple of Hawks questions we'll get to at the end, but I mainly want to talk about the Olympics men and women's team. First of all, off the court, when did we start caring about how many minutes people play in these games? Because I feel like I've seen more tweets and articles about that than I have about the actual dominance of the U.S. team.
Okay, but I think that is what comes when you are dominant. Like, people run out of storylines because we've reached a point where, you know, obviously, after the disappointment, what are we talking, 12 years ago now at this point? I'm trying to remember, you know, when the U.S. actually kind of disappointed. But ever since, we've had some real star power involved in this sort of thing. And they've been pretty dominant outside of some, you know, your warm-up games when you're getting ready to go, when you're figuring out lineups and all that sort of stuff, because there isn't the real concern. Like, it always is going to exist that you could come out one day and just absolutely not be able to knock down shots and the other team be lightning hot. But outside of that reality, it's just the known fact that the U.S. is going to be dominant. So because of that, it's like, well, what else are we going to talk about? Oh, you mean that the recent NBA champion Jason Tatum isn't playing in a game? And it's like, well, yeah, that's going to happen because of the circumstances of who is out on the floor. And then, you know, obviously ending up with Joel Embiid not playing, that making a whole lot more sense in a game, you know, size matchups, all of those sorts of things. Like, so for Steve Kerr to have to come out and say the most obvious thing ever, which is, hey, we're going to take this game by game and play guys based on their strengths and based on the matchups that we're getting, like you would see on any NBA team, because these guys are all stars and not just, you know, regular rotation guys that you would typically see as your 11th, 12th man on a team, it gets blown up out of proportion, made to be a really big deal. That I think the only thing we can take away from all of it is there's been one glaring part to me, which is I don't know that Joel Embiid is that good of a fit for this men's U.S. team. You know, with the style of basketball that he plays, where really needs the ball and really slows everything down. He's good against, you know, when you have a taller team that you're going to face, when you've got some bigger guys. But other than that, I think everything kind of gets blown out of proportion, and I expect the U.S. to kind of roll on to a gold medal.
Shouldn't this also be, as we appreciate the careers of LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, in which probably this will be all three of their last Olympics, certainly the last ones together. I know Steph's not playing great, but shouldn't it be a situation where we let those guys try to get one more and lead the way in doing so?
Sure, but it's also LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant, three guys who notoriously, when it comes to our industry of, you know, sports entertainment, love to kind of take these guys down for one reason or another. You know, with LeBron, it's the GOAT conversation. With KD, it's, oh, well, he left and went and joined the Warriors. With Steph, it's like, oh, well, you know, he's too small and can he really do it all himself? He needed to create a super team around him kind of thing. Like it's guys who we have just historically in this industry taken down for one reason or another instead of enjoying their greatness. And I think you make a great point that we should absolutely be going like, man, we've got real legends out here, that this is going to be the last opportunity that we get to see them all play together. And I won't be surprised that it'll be a thing where, you know, 3 years from now, when we're putting a new roster together and looking back and going, oh, you know, we should have enjoyed the moment more of having these guys. We got headband LeBron back today, Chris. Like, that was the thing. Like, we got throwback, you know, versions of these guys. And it's been so much fun to watch. And I do think there will be some regret for a lot of people looking back and not appreciating what we're getting to witness over what's now going to be the next week.
Talking with our good buddy Caleb Johnson, covers the Hawks here and the NBA for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, chopping up some Olympics. Now, over to the women's side, Caleb, I'm a little confused, and maybe I'm just missing it, but given the popularity of the WNBA this season, I haven't seen as much buzz about the women's Olympic team, though I know they are obviously great and should be expected to win it all. What do you know about how they're doing so far, and maybe why the men's team is not, or the women's team rather, is not catching up to the men's team in terms of the buzz?
You know, as far as the buzz, I think it's just this team is kind of, as far as the women goes, like, they've been dominant without many storylines in times past. I think the biggest thing was All-Star Weekend, a couple weeks ago, when you had the WNBA All-Stars face off against Team USA and beat them, which kind of showed that the young rising stars in the W are on that level and maybe already a little bit better, at least playing with one another. I don't really know what to take away from the women's basketball side of this thing when it comes to the Olympics, just because the level of competition that they're facing hasn't caught up to what the men's side is facing. Like, that is where the conversation has really shifted, where you've got a Canada team on the men's side where you've got, I'm trying to remember, I think it's 11 of those guys are in the NBA. Whereas, you know, if you go back to like the Dream Team, I think they faced a total of 6 guys who were in the NBA through every team that they faced. So, you know, with the game growing, I think it's just caught up more globally on the men's side than it has the women's side. So when you have, the U.S. kind of dominating in that area, even if in certain games the actual game itself is a little bit tighter, I think just because the competition that they're facing is a little bit less known and not as much a part of the W, it just hasn't really translated as well. But they're not, like, I fully expect the U.S. team, led by Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart, you know, just kind of to run through their side of the tournament, take gold as they've done every year, at least the last 5 Olympics. So it's just one of those, the storylines really haven't been there. The drama that we've kind of created on the men's side of the game is to a South Sudan team that comes out of nowhere and gives them a real run for their money in those exhibition matches. Like, we just haven't seen that on the women's side. I think that's part of why we haven't seen those storylines be any bigger.
Before I let you go, a couple of quick Hawks notes. They decide that Bruno Fernando not going to be in the mix for next season. Why, out of all the centers that they have, why him?
I think, honestly, Chris, this just comes down to he was the most expendable. It's an unfortunate part of this, because I want to make things, one thing very clear. Like, the Hawks did not want to waive Bruno Fernando. That is why when his contract was set to be guaranteed 2 months ago, they delayed that and then delayed it again because what they were trying to do is figure out a way to get rid of probably either Clint Capela or a Larry Nance Jr., because those are guys who, you know, with Clint on an expiring contract, with Larry Nance Jr., just an older rotational guy, someone that would probably be better suited on a contending team or just a different roster in general. They had five centers, and it was just – there's no way they were going to go into training camp with that number. Bruno was a team-friendly deal that they didn't have to guarantee his contract. They could waive him like they did, and so he just became the odd man out. It's unfortunate because I think what Bruno did last year, stepping in when both Clint and Onyeka got hurt and having to play some big minutes, I think he did a really great job with that. I think he is an incredible third center and maybe a backup on certain teams. And he's a great locker room fit as well. I mean, there's just no one more fun in the Hawks locker room than Bruno Fernando. But it's the unfortunate side of this is, you know, when it becomes a business and you have to make those tough decisions. And Bruno was the most expendable because of that contract, because it wasn't guaranteed they could waive him. And he ends up seeing his way out.
Finally, before I let you go, I'm seeing all this. Dyson Daniels is amazing. Have you seen what he's done for Australia? Are you buying that, Caleb?
Yes, Chris. It was a big part of why I was perfectly fine when they made the DeJounte Murray trade. I wasn't panicking like I think a lot of people were as to, hey, they should have been a bigger return. They should have got more draft picks or whatever.
I was panicking.
I know you were. I wasn't going to call you out specifically, but, you know, kind of insinuate. But I really think, like, do I think that Dyson Daniels is going to step into the Atlanta Hawks and fill the void, so to speak, of DeJounte Murray? Like, no. But I think his skill set is really complementary to what the Hawks are trying to build. Hopefully his offense catches up to where his defense is so clearly strong. And I think that has been what people have kind of held on to with him playing with Australia in the Olympics is like, whoa, we're not just seeing him being put on the best offensive player for the opposing team like he did with the Pelicans. We're also seeing his offensive game grow where he's taking good shots, where he's just making good passes, all of that, like get complete game where, yeah, I've been high on this guy because he was a part of a package deal, because he also came with the draft picks. That is what made this trade so positive, I think, in the Hawks' light, because it was so obvious that DeJounte and Trey weren't working together. So for you to be able to trade that out with future assets as well as get a guy who is so strong defensively, which is going to help out Trey. And hey, if he can improve his offensive game like we've seen lately, it's just going to make things even better and hopefully leads to an Atlanta Hawks team that surprises a lot of people because they don't have the necessarily, you know, the star power when it comes to the names on the roster.
All right. I'm on NBA.com right now. Dyson Daniels, 2X, baby, coming my way. I'm going to buy the jersey. All right, Caleb, appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, man, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that is our good buddy Caleb Johnson there. Hey, all right. I mean, you guys know how I felt about the trade at the time. Still feel that way, but we'll see. You know, everybody who told me, Jared Kelnick's amazing because he had a good month. Yeah, I'll just leave that there. Sometimes you got to trust your boy. He knows what he's doing. They don't give these jobs to sheep, as a good friend once said. All right, when we get back, he's coming in the mix. He's got a producer six-pack for us, four sports questions of any kind, two lifestyle questions of any kind. And speaking of lifestyle, make sure you go vote on the poll at C. Thomas Radio. We got into a conversation. I dipped my feet back into the dating world. How many dates does it take before you know that you want to try and see someone long-term? One, two to three, or more than four? Go vote. continuing to get really, really awesome answers to our poll on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game of how many dates does it take before you know that you want to date somebody long term. I brought it up because I just started back into the dating world after a very, very bad 2023 for your boy, in which I shared some of those horror stories here on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting a bunch of texts in at 404-726-0929. Hey, Turtle, met my girl at the Benz for an Atlanta United playoff match. It just took one date, and we made it official. Still together, 5 years strong, from Ross. That's awesome, man. Got another one about a couple that just celebrated their 33rd wedding anniversary, which is amazing. And getting a bunch of comments on Twitter as well. I'll read some of those coming up later in the show. But go vote, 404-726-0929, or go text. That is the number to text in. How many dates before you know you're ready to go down that path of a relationship? Coming up at the top of the hour, I owe you guys an apology because, I got off on a tangent about Arthur Blank's comments about Kirk Cousins, and it took up the entire segment. So we're going to let you hear the rest of the audio I was planning on playing. We'll see if I get derailed again by something somebody says. But right now, you know what time it is on a Saturday. It's Producer Six Pack time.
Time for the Producer Six Pack on the other side of the glass.
Six questions.
Six questions.
Six chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
My man Chris Turtle Thomas getting ready for this Producer Six Pack, starting with question number one. Do me a favor, Chris. Hold up all the fingers on either one of your hands.
On either one of my hands?
Yeah. Okay. What you got there?
Left hand.
Well, how many you got there?
Five.
Five. That is the current number of games that our Atlanta Braves are now behind the Philadelphia Phillies.
Damn right.
Did you ever think a month ago that if I said to you, hey, man, how many games are the Braves back, you could do with one hand?
No.
No.
Nope.
No. Not when it was both your hands plus a couple feet a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about this, man? Or can we do it? Can we get it down to four, three? Two. Can we get it down to one game going into September?
Got a couple of big games with the Phillies left in the season.
In this month, brother. In this month.
If it's still at this range within a game, yeah, they can do it. And I you're right. I can't believe I'm saying that. It's been with Gorilla Glue and Pixie Dust and masking tape that they've been able to do it.
That Gorilla Glue's good stuff, man.
And we'll talk a lot about the Braves tomorrow because I have a question I want to get your guys' reaction to on the phone about. It's just crazy to think about where, like you said, a month ago, where this team was. Everybody was struggling. Now Arcia is like the hottest hitter in baseball the last week. Olsen's hitting home runs every night. Riley's coming back online. I mean, even if you don't get Michael Harris back, hopefully Soler can, you know, he had a big hit last night. He could do a little something-something. Schwellenbach's coming on out of nowhere. He had another 10-strikeout game. So, yeah, I mean, I still have some questions about the depth of the starting pitching. Again, we'll get into that tomorrow. But with the way everything's going right now, you keep beating up on the Fish, and then you got a couple of other – I think they got a series, what, versus the Angels coming up? I mean, they got some winnable games on their schedule, so
– And the Phillies got tough games.
And they are just – I think we read the stat on Dukes and Bell yesterday – Bryce Harper was in a 1-for-30 slump.
And it had to come. It had to come. I told people 2 months ago, look at the Phillies' schedule after the All-Star break. Yankees, thank you, Yankees. You did what we needed for us.
Yep.
They are playing a much tougher schedule than they played in the first half of the year. They're in the middle of a 2-8, 2-9 run, something like that. And we're taking advantage of it. It just took some time. It was no way in the world the Phillies were going to win 70% of their games all year long. It wasn't going to happen. And they're slowly coming back to the pack. We'll see what keeps happening. All right. Question number one in the books. Let's go to question number two. You know, our quarterback here in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins, he's not the only big-time starter returning from an Achilles injury, is he? No?
No.
No. There's another guy.
Yeah, a guy I'm very, very familiar with, yeah, unfortunately.
I'm reading a quote here from Jets coverage. Says that looks like he has not missed a beat, didn't miss a game. Looks like Superman had a 90-minute workout here the other day, and they said he looked superb. Are you buying this hype here, Chris? Are you buying this hype?
I want to, but I mean, my mind tells me better. I gotta see it. I gotta see it to believe it, right? I mean, I was hyped last year, and it took 4 plays, and then he missed the rest of the season. And Zach Wilson was our quarterback, and they stunk again. I mean, I want to, and if he looks like his usual self, could they be good? Yeah, absolutely. But again, show me. You got to show me. I'm not buying the Aaron Rodgers hype train until it is pulling right into the station.
Go out here to Jets coverage. They are selling it, selling it, selling it. And then the one article started, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers looks like, I'm like, oh, my God, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I couldn't believe it. You know, we're talking about, oh, our guy's going to be 36. He's 40 and coming back from this Achilles injury.
He's a man. He's 40, but will he be good? Let's find out.
I like that. Very good. All right, moving along on this week's edition of the Producer Six Pack. I got a question for you. If you were listening to me and Abe earlier, maybe you talked about this or you heard us talk about this, but I'm just going to ask you plain and simple. Who's the best wide receiver in all of the NFL?
I mean, it's got to be Tyreek Hill, right?
Well, according to NFL.com, he's the number one player in all of the NFL, in their top 100
over Mahomes?
List.
Where's Mahomes, too?
Mahomes is 2, that's correct. Tyreek Hill,
man.
Not just the best wide receiver in the NFL, and he just got another bag. Congratulations to him, yeah, Matt Adam. You know, get your paper. But the number one player in all of the NFL. Do you agree with the top 100?
No, it's clickbait garbage. Come on, you're telling me that a wide receiver is better than the best quarterback in the league and the best quarterback in the league.
And you're telling me he's the best wide receiver in the league, which was actually my question to you. Who is the best wide receiver in the league?
Well, you could argue Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in
the league. Well, you said Hill. I apologize. I asked, you answered. You said Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, that's what you said.
Yeah. I mean, it's nowhere near as close as – or not as close as the distance between Patrick Mahomes and the second best quarterback in the league. The gap for wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2 is a lot tighter, because you can make the argument that Justin Jefferson is wide receiver 1.
And Ja'Marr Chase is wide receiver 2.
Yeah.
And 3, yes. Is he top 3? Yes, but...
But Pat Mahomes is so far and away the best quarterback in the NFL.
And the best player. And
yeah,
the best player.
How's
he not number one in this 100 ranking when I didn't know it? Abe educated me. And I'm like, you kidding me? For real?
2 words.
Who?
Yeah. Click. Bait.
and they're getting them. They're definitely getting them, too. All right. Moving along. One more sports question here on the six-pack. Know what I'm doing tonight?
What's up?
Of course you don't.
No.
My brother and nephew are in town. We're going to hang out.
Very nice.
And my nephew said, Unc, can I order SummerSlam at the house?
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? Couldn't tell you the last time I watched a WWE pay-per-view, so sure.
What does that run in you?
Don't want to know, because I don't – technically, I guess nothing, because he has a Peacock, but I guess you have to upgrade for this. And he asked me what I, you know, front the fee for that. Probably $20 or $30. I'm not really worried about it. You know,
okay.
Maybe we're going to order some pizza
if
wings.
If it makes him smile.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
and I got another question about my nephew coming up, but I'm asking you, wrestling anyone? You got – I mean, I just looked at the matches. I know like 2 of these guys. I know Cody Rhodes, and I think I know one of the Samoan guys. I mean, when I was his age, I could name every wrestler.
Yeah.
But I don't know none of these dudes.
Myself, my cousin, ironically, who actually wound up being in the WWE for a while, and my aunt.
In the WWE?
Okay. Yeah, he made it. He had an unfortunate ending to his career, though. Was about to make it really big, too. And he, it's a fun story. I'll tell you off the air. We used to watch it all the time growing up. The Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels,
I knew all
Bret Hart.
When I was his age, I ain't mad at him because I knew them all. I had the action figures,
yeah,
the T-shirts.
Yep. So I was into it then, but not. I mean, I know there's a couple of people at the station.
I was about to say, Bo Johnson and Day Day are listening.
They're going to come through the speakers.
Just, hey, man, I like, you know, I've talked about it on the air before a million times. I love, like, Nintendo. I'm still a big Nintendo guy. I don't care. Like, everybody likes what they like. I have a Nintendo Switch at home. I play it almost every day. So I don't care. Everybody's got a little nerd in them. There's nothing wrong with that. People think just because you like sports, you're like, oh, yeah. No, I was like, no, man, if you like Star Wars, if you like Pokemon, if you like baseball cards, whatever you want. Everybody has – what's your calling card? What's your nerd thing you nerd out with?
Well, I'm a big stats guy. I would love to go one-on-one with Abe Gordon and some trivia stats. So, you know,
I would moderate that.
Yeah. So, you
know, Mike Conti, if you're listening,
that's just my thing.
Let's put that together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, no, I actually went before, God rest his soul, I actually went head to head with Stump the Schwab once.
Really?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do?
He got me, but I held my own for a while. I held my own for at the old ESPN zone here in Atlanta.
I used to love that show.
Yep. So, I'm a stats guy. So it's cool. But I'm actually looking forward to SummerSlam tonight. All right, let's keep going. We got to get to the non-sports question. And nephew, I got one more for you. You'll love this. I think you're listening. All right. Aerosmith. My man Steven Tyler, I've seen them live. They are announcing that they are retiring. Steven Smiler's voice is pretty much gone. And he's in his late mid-70s, I believe. And
I'm sure he's dating a 26-year-old.
I ain't mad at him about that, but they're going to call their – this is one of their final world tours, which I think they've done it already three times already, but they're done. Any group or band that you still haven't seen yet that you want to catch before they call it quits?
This is a sad one.
Uh-oh.
I didn't get to do it.
They done?
I missed my chance.
Who?
Linkin Park.
Okay.
Was my favorite band. And still is. And Chester Bennington, obviously.
Passed away.
Tragic story there. But I will say, there is a band out there. They're called In the End. They are a Linkin Park tribute band. I saw them about a year ago, and they're coming back to Atlanta in October, and I already bought my tickets.
Good stuff.
They are incredible. If there are any Linkin Park fans out there, I'm telling you, I'm a Linkin Park diehard. I know every word to every song. And they were amazing. So I didn't get to see them, but the tribute band is incredible. And they always, you know, pay tribute to him and the band while they're doing the shows, you know, during in between songs. So really good stuff there. Ones that are currently still going, probably either the Foo Fighters or the Chili Peppers. I haven't seen either one of them in, you know, I grew up with all that and like Green Day and Blink 182, all those type of bands is what I listened to growing up.
All right, but yeah, you know, Aerosmith, you had a great run. Maybe they'll be able to come back, but it looks like Steven Tyler's career is done as a lead vocalist.
Jaded.
Yeah, they had a great run. Na, 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 na. All right, we got time for this last one. All right, nephew, back to school. Back to school's here. All the kids going back. So nephew came to me, and I don't know why he does this to me all the time, but he said, Unc, can you take me sneaker shopping? And I was like,
man, he really hits you up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. My brother and sister, I don't know what it is. They have convinced all their kids that they have a rich uncle in Atlanta named Eric. I don't know where this rumor started, and I don't know how to.
Daddy Warbucks, you know what I'm saying, man.
You know, but I'm dreading this. So my question to you is, what's the most you ever dropped on a pair of sneakers?
Ooh, I'm the wrong person to ask on this.
Me too, because I'm a $100 cutoff guy. And I know that's not going to be anywhere near the case to get this 15-year-old a pair of sneakers to go back. Oh.
Continuing to get really, really awesome answers to our poll on Sports Radio 929 The Game of how many dates does it take before you know that you want to date somebody long term? I brought it up because I just started back into the dating world after a very, very bad 2023 for your boy, in which I shared some of those horror stories here on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting a bunch of texts in at 404-726-0929. Hey, Turtle, met my girl at the Benz for an Atlanta United playoff match. It just took one date, and we made it official. Still together, 5 years strong, from Ross. That's awesome, man. Got another one about a couple that just celebrated their 33rd wedding anniversary, which is amazing. and getting a bunch of comments on Twitter as well. I'll read some of those coming up later in the show. But go vote 404-726-0929 or go text. That is the number to text in. How many dates before you know you're ready to go down that path of a relationship? Coming up at the top of the hour, I owe you guys an apology because, I got off on a tangent about Arthur Blank's comments about Kirk Cousins, and it took up the entire segment. So we're going to let you hear the rest of the audio I was planning on playing. We'll see if I get derailed again by something somebody says. But right now, you know what time it is on a Saturday. It's Producer Six-Pack time.
Time for the Producer Six-Pack on the other side of the glass.
Six questions.
Six questions.
Six chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
My man Chris Turtle Thomas getting ready for this Producer Six-Pack, starting with question number one. Do me a favor, Chris. Hold up all the fingers on either one of your hands.
On either one of my hands?
Yeah. Okay. What you got there?
Left hand.
Well, how many you got there?
Five.
Five. That is the current number of games that our Atlanta Braves are now behind the Philadelphia Phillies.
Damn right.
Did you ever think a month ago that if I said to you, hey, man, how many games are the Braves back, you could do with one hand?
No.
No.
Nope.
No. Not when it was both your hands plus a couple feet a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about this, man? Or can we do it? Can we get it down to four, three, two? Can we get it down to one game going into September?
Got a couple of big games with the Phillies left in the season.
In this month, brother. In this month.
If it's still at this range within a game, yeah, they can do it. And I you're right. I can't believe I'm saying that. It's been with Gorilla Glue and Pixie Dust and Masking Tape that they've been able to do it.
That Gorilla Glue's good stuff, man.
And we'll talk a lot about the Braves tomorrow because I have a question I want to get your guys' reaction to on the phone about. It's just crazy to think about where, like you said, a month ago, where this team was. Everybody was struggling. Now Arcia is like the hottest hitter in baseball the last week. Olsen's hitting home runs every night. Riley's coming back online. I mean, even if you don't get Michael Harris back, hopefully Soler can, you know, he had a big hit last night. He could do a little something-something. Schwellenbach's coming on out of nowhere. He had another 10-strikeout game. So, yeah, I mean, I still have some questions about the depth of the starting pitching. Again, we'll get into that tomorrow. But with the way everything's going right now, you keep beating up on the Fish, and then you got a couple of other – I think they got a series, what, versus the Angels coming up? I mean, they got some winnable games on their schedule, so
– And the Phillies got tough games.
And they are just – I think we read the stat on Dukes and Bell yesterday – Bryce Harper was in a 1-for-30 slump.
And it had to come. It had to come. I told people 2 months ago, look at the Phillies' schedule after the All-Star break. Yankees, thank you, Yankees. You did what we needed for us.
Yep.
They are playing a much tougher schedule than they played in the first half of the year. They're in the middle of a 2-8, 2-9 run, something like that. And we're taking advantage of it. It just took some time. It was no way in the world the Phillies were going to win 70% of their games all year long. It wasn't going to happen. And they're slowly coming back to the pack. We'll see what keeps happening. All right. Question number one in the books. Let's go to question number two. You know, our quarterback here in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins, he's not the only big-time starter returning from an Achilles injury, is he? No.
No.
There's another guy.
Yeah, a guy I'm very familiar with, unfortunately.
I'm reading a quote here from Jets coverage. Says that looks like he has not missed a beat, didn't miss a game. Looks like Superman had a 90-minute workout here the other day, and they said he looked superb. Are you buying this hype here, Chris? Are you buying this hype?
I want to, but I mean, my mind tells me better. I got to see it. I got to see it to believe it, right? I mean, I was hyped last year and it took four plays and then he missed the rest of the season and Zach Wilson was our quarterback and they stunk again. I mean, I want to. And if he looks like his usual self, could they be good? Yeah, absolutely. But again, show me. You got to show me. I'm not buying the Aaron Rodgers hype train until it is pulling right into the station.
Go out here to Jets coverage. They are selling it. And then the one article started, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers looks like, I'm like, oh, my God, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I couldn't believe it. You know, we're talking about, oh, our guy's going to be 36. He's 40 and coming back from this Achilles injury.
He's a man. He's 40, but will he be good? Let's find out.
I like that. Very good. All right, moving along on this week's edition of the Producer Six Pack. I got a question for you. If you were listening to me and Abe earlier, maybe you talked about this or you heard us talk about this, but I'm just going to ask you plain and simple. Who's the best wide receiver in all of the NFL?
I mean, it's got to be Tyreek Hill, right?
Well, according to NFL.com, he's the number one player in all of the NFL, in their top 100
over Mahomes?
List.
What is Mahomes, two?
Mahomes is two. That is correct. Tyreek Hill.
And
not just the best wide receiver in the NFL, and he just got another bag. Congratulations to him. Yeah, I mad at him. You know, get your paper. But the number one player in all of the NFL. Do you agree with the top 100?
No. It's clickbait garbage. Come on. You're telling me that a wide receiver is better than the best quarterback in the league, and the best quarterback in the league.
And you're telling me he's the best wide receiver in the league, which was actually my question to you. Who is the best wide receiver in the league?
Well, you could argue Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in
the league. Well, you said Hill. I apologize. I asked, you answered. You said Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, that's what you said.
Yeah. I mean, it's nowhere near as close as, or not as close as, the distance between Patrick Mahomes and the second best quarterback in the league. The gap for wide receiver one and wide receiver two is a lot tighter, because you can make the argument that Justin Jefferson is wide receiver one, or
and Ja'Marr Chase is wide receiver two.
Yeah,
and three. Is he top three? Yes, but
Pat Mahomes is so far and away the best quarterback in the NFL,
and the best player. And the best player.
How's
he not number one in this 100 ranking? When I didn't know it, Abe educated me, and I'm like, you kidding me? For real?
Two words.
Who?
Yeah. Click. Bait.
and they're getting them. They're definitely getting them, too. All right. Moving along. One more sports question here on the six-pack. Know what I'm doing tonight?
What's up?
Of course you don't.
No.
My brother and nephew are in town. We're going to hang out.
Very nice.
And my nephew said, Unc, can I order SummerSlam at the house?
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? Couldn't tell you the last time I watched a WWE pay-per-view, so sure.
What does that run in you?
Don't want to know, because I don't – technically, I guess nothing, because he has a Peacock, but I guess you have to upgrade for this. And he asked me what I, you know, front the fee for that. Probably $20 or $30. I'm not really worried about it. You know,
okay.
Maybe we're going to order some pizza
if
wings.
If it makes him smile.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and I got another question about my nephew coming up, but I'm asking you, wrestling anyone? You got – I mean, I just looked at the matches. I know like two of these guys. I know Cody Rhodes, and I think I know one of the Samoan guys. I mean, when I was his age, I could name every wrestler.
Yeah.
But I don't know none of these dudes.
Myself, my cousin, ironically, who actually wound up being in the WWE for a while, and my aunt.
In the WWE? Okay.
Yeah, he made it. He had an unfortunate ending to his career, though. Was about to make it really big, too. And he, it's a fun story. I'll tell you off the air. We used to watch it all the time growing up. The Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels,
I knew all
Bret Hart.
When I was his age, I ain't mad at him because I knew them all. Stone I had the Cold. Action figures,
yeah,
the T-shirts.
Too. Yep. So I was into it then, but not. I mean, I know there's a couple of people at the station.
I was about to say, Bo Johnson and Day Day are listening.
They're going to come through the speakers. Hey, man, I like, you know, I've talked about it on the air before a million times. I love, like, Nintendo. I'm still a big Nintendo guy. I don't care. Like, everybody likes what they like. I have a Nintendo Switch at home. I play it almost every day. So I don't care. Everybody's got a little nerd in them. There's nothing wrong with that.
People think
just because you like sports, you're like, oh, yeah. No, I was like, no, man, if you like Star Wars, if you like Pokemon, if you like baseball cards, whatever you want. Everybody has – what's your calling card? What's your nerd thing you nerd out with?
Well, I'm a big stats guy. I would love to go one-on-one with Abe Gordon and some trivia stats. So, you know,
I would I would moderate that.
Yeah. So,
you know, Mike Conti, if you're listening,
that's just my thing.
Let's put that together.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, no, I just didn't. I actually went before, God rest his soul, I actually went head to head with Stump Schwab once.
Really?
Yes, I did.
How'd you do?
He got me, but I held my own for a while. I held my own for at the old ESPN zone here in Atlanta.
I used to love that show.
Yep. So yeah, I'm a stats guy. So it's cool, but I'm actually looking forward to SummerSlam tonight. All right, let's keep going. We got to get to the non-sports question. And nephew, I got one more for you. You'll love this. I think you're listening. All right. Aerosmith, my man Steven Tyler. I've seen them live. They are announcing that they are retiring. Steven Smiler's voice is pretty much gone. And he's in his late mid-70s, I believe. And
I'm sure he's dating a 26-year-old.
I ain't mad at him about that, but they're going to call their – this is one of their final world tours, which I think they've done it already three times already, but they're done. Any group or band that you still haven't seen yet that you want to catch before they call it quits?
This is a sad one.
Uh-oh.
I didn't get to do it.
They're done?
I missed my chance.
Who?
Linkin Park.
Okay.
Was my favorite band. And still is. And Chester Bennington, obviously.
Passed away.
Tragic story there. But I will say, there is a band out there. They're called In the End. They are a Linkin Park tribute band. I saw them about a year ago, and they're coming back to Atlanta in October, and I already bought my tickets.
Good stuff.
They are incredible. If there are any Linkin Park fans out there, I'm telling you, I'm a Linkin Park diehard. I know every word to every song. And they were amazing. So I didn't get to see them, but the tribute band is incredible. And they always, you know, pay tribute to him and the band while they're doing the shows, you know, during in between songs. So really good stuff there. But yeah, ones that are currently still going, probably either the Foo Fighters or the Chili Peppers. I haven't seen either one of them in, you know, I grew up with all that and like Green Day and
Blink-182. 90s grunge music.
Blink-182, all those type of bands is what I listened to growing up.
All right, but yeah, you know, Aerosmith, you had a great run. Maybe they'll be able to come back, but it looks like Steven Tyler's career is done as a lead vocalist.
Jaded.
Yeah, they had a great run. All right, we got time for this last one. All right, nephew, back to school. Back to school's here. All the kids going back. So nephew came to me, and I don't know why he does this to me all the time, but he said, Unc, can you take me sneaker shopping? And I was like,
man, he really hits you up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. My brother and sister, I don't know what it is. They've convinced all their kids that they have a rich uncle in Atlanta named Eric. I don't know where this rumor started, and I don't know how to.
Daddy Warbucks, you know what I'm saying, man.
You know, but I'm dreading this. So my question to you is, what's the most you ever dropped on a pair of sneakers?
Ooh, I'm the wrong person to ask on this.
Me too, because I'm a $100 cutoff guy. And I know that's not going to be anywhere near the case to get this 15-year-old a pair of sneakers to go back.
Oh, is he going
to
hit you up for like some J's?
I'm sure.
Oh,
I'm sure. Yeah. Overtime, Mike. Well, I know we can't. I need some shifts. Give me some shifts, boss. I need some pickups for next hour.
Man, maybe I'll take a couple of days off so you could fill in. Yeah, it's got to be maybe like $80. I'm a big Under Armour guy. Just, you know, no free pub, but that's just the shoe that I tend to. I have very wide.
You can make holes.
Yeah, I that's and you know what? That's exactly where I get them from. I have much like Kirk. Me and Kirk Cousins would bond over our love of Kohl's.
Okay.
Actually, I have a Kohl's credit card.
Yeah, nothing like some Kohl bucks. But no, I'm not getting off that cheap. Yeah. I'm not getting off that cheap. I knew it was coming. My brother warned me. He's like, "Hey, man, he wants to go school shopping when he's in Atlanta because they live in Indiana." And he's like, man, I'm coming to Atlanta to get me some swag with Unc's credit card. I'm like,
yeah, you better bring your piggy bank, young man. I mean, geez. All right, good stuff there, E on the six pack. We'll get to a five true or false coming up a little later. But when we get back, I got a lot more Falcon sound for you to hear. We'll react to it next. Don't go anywhere, including what does Jimmy Lake think about the defense?